This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Business, I'm Christine Wong. Now, it's safe to say that one of the few truly uniting factors for Malaysians is our pride in our food. But how much do we and the rest of the world really know about where our food comes from? In an effort to both educate and promote Malaysia's proud culinary history, Jeslyn Oi Shiyun, co-founder of Happy Jumpy, creates unique and functional gifts all based on our local cuisine.
I'm Jeslyn, the co-founder of Happy Dumpy. Happy Dumpy is a creative brand that produces unique, memorable and functional gifts and souvenirs that evoke memories of our homeland, Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
We design all our fabrics from scratch and translate the cultural significance of Malaysian cuisine into these interesting, memorable and one-of-a-kind Malaysian gifts and souvenirs.
Great. So where did the idea for Happy Dumpy come from?
So Happy Dumpy actually come from dumpling.
Mm-hmm.
Malaysian, we have lots of dumpling, bak chang,
mm-hmm.
and it's my favorite food.
Mm, okay.
So this came in mind because I was thinking of something that represents Malaysian food. And my favorite food is the dumplings.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, I just make it catchy in terms of the name itself so that people will remember. So Happy Dumpy comes by.
I see. And what experience did you have, if any, in creating, or designing these sorts of products?
Oh, I come from a design and advertising background.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to bounce back interesting ideas every day. I love to churn fresh ideas, interesting things and exploring many new possibilities, new horizon that can make my products interesting and also functional.
Mm.
So I was thinking, I found a gap in the Malaysian gifts and souvenirs industry, and I found that I can make Malaysian gifts and souvenirs really interesting, captivating, and at the same time as a storytelling medium of Malaysian culture.
Mm-hmm. And did you handcraft anything on the side as like a hobby or anything before you got started?
Actually, before that, I was into designing,
mm-hmm.
drawing, and everything that I do, it must be creative.
Right.
Because I'm a creative soul and I really, really love ideas, really love thoughts. And everything that I produce, there must be some thought behind it. There must be some ideas behind it. Why do I need to do this?
Mm.
And I saw a gap in the Malaysian gifts and souvenirs. And I saw, why not turn something really interesting, memorable? And so I really brainstormed into it and put a lot of effort in coming out with ideas, thoughts, and also different kinds of perceptions regarding our Malaysian culture.
Yes, I think it's really interesting because some of the food products that you've chosen in your designs are not necessarily as well known to an international audience. I mean, you mentioned bak chang, right?
Yes.
Which is not really a thing that people hear about, or if they hear about it, it's been anglicized. It's like, Chinese rice, glutinous rice dumplings.
Yeah.
But you don't really hear those terms. You don't really see the imagery of bak chang very commonly on a global perspective, right?
Yes.
The same goes for a lot of the other kuehs, for example, that you've taken inspiration from, like angku, for example,
yes.
right? Which I don't think very few people outside of maybe Southeast Asia know what that even is.
Yes.
So I think it's really interesting that you're shining a light on, I guess, the more unsung heroes of the Malaysian culinary
yes.
space.
Because it's really, really interesting to know the story behind our
yeah.
Malaysian cuisine, like bak chang. There are really different kinds of bak chang, and how do we differentiate it?
Mm.
So this serves as a storytelling medium for them to know more about our cultural heritage, our roots, through this Malaysian cuisine. And there are lots of tourists when they come to me and they say, wow, that's adorable. May I know more about this food? And this caught them. And they say, wow, that's interesting. I would like to share with my family and friends
mm-hmm.
regarding Malaysian culture. So this really serves as an interesting storytelling medium for them and for us Malaysians.
I love that. Now, this has sort of been more of a right-brain conversation so far in terms of the creative stuff, but I got to delve into the left-brain side of the things in terms of the business itself. What was the process like of starting the business? For example, my first question with that is how much initial capital did you raise to actually get this going as a professional business?
Oh, at first, I had around like a few thousands mm-hmm. as my capital. And slowly, I would like to start small first. And then initially, out of my expectation, it's growing in a very, very fast pace. And I remembered the first bazaar, I just came out because I really love creative stuff. And I just want to showcase my design collections in a bazaar. And I just have no expectations, but the response was really great. Mm. Within the first bazaar, it was totally sold out. Mm. So from there, it builds my confidence to develop more and more range of Malaysian gifts and souvenirs. Mm. And I was really, really happy at that moment.
And that initial capital came from your own pocket, I'm assuming?
Yes, it comes from my original savings.
I see. I think that's a very common story for a lot of entrepreneurs as well, starting from the ground up, right? You bootstrap it and you save from your own, your own funds, your own personal funds. And also in terms of design as well, this is a question that I was curious about. In terms of licensing, is that something that you've looked into in order to preserve the uniqueness of your designs?
Yes, certainly. For each of our designs, Happy Dumpy, I patent it because it's my original designs and each and everyone is one of a kind, and I put a lot of effort, a lot of hard work into brainstorming the ideas, the thought behind it and the structure behind it, and each structure has its stories to tell. So it's a very important aspect for me to patent it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge problem, right? From what I've heard in the creative fields, in the arts and design world, so many local creators, for example, will see their products. I mean, we're all not unfamiliar with the counterfeit products that you see very often on the streets of like Petaling Street and the like, where international brands especially do get a lot of fakes sort of done in their name, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's really important, and it's something that maybe not a lot of other businesses might take into account, especially one with such a unique storytelling point to your designs like you. So I think that's really clever that you immediately jumped on that and you were I have to protect my designs.
Yes, before releasing it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now talk to me a little bit about the design process. What goes into that initial product prototype design?
Okay, in my design process, there are a lot of aspects that I look into, not just aesthetic-wise, but also why do I do it? And why does this kind of structure, why is it like this? And there's a lot of why that I constantly ask myself. And there comes it, like the packaging culture. I look into the Malaysian packaging culture, like banana leaf, how we unwrap it, how we unwrap the bamboo leaves in the bacang, and how we wrap our kuih, mm-hmm. and why the kuih mui is so colourful, mm-hmm. and how do we translate into interesting and creative products.
So I think the idea behind that is it should be intuitive, I guess, for Malaysians, right? Like if you see your bacang product, you should be able to open it like a traditional bacang,
yes.
right? That's the idea, that touch memory almost should be there.
Yes, the nostalgic memories.
I see. Really, really interesting. And what kind of research do you do, if any, to find what new product or new idea to have for one of your designs?
Oh, actually, because I'm a very, very creative soul, so I always believe that originality that comes from your thoughts. And so this Happy Dumpy design collection is all fully the thoughts and ideas that we brainstorm it from scratch.
Mm.
So when we first thought of this business, Happy Dumpy, so we look into what Malaysian gifts and souvenirs that we like to produce in terms of entertainment, in terms of food, in terms of heritage buildings and different kinds of games. And we sort of have this perception that food, Malaysian food, everybody loves it. But do we really know our roots and cultural heritage behind our Malaysian food?
Mm.
And what are the stories behind each Malaysian food that we have? It will be interesting. to become a storytelling platform for people to know more about Malaysian culture.
Not just eating the food mindlessly, but actually knowing the background of where it comes from as well. I see. Now, we're going to take a short break for some messages, but after that, I will continue speaking to Jeslyn all about Happy Dumpy here on Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Bungkus for Makan. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and here with me today is Jeslyn Oishiyun. She is the co-founder of Happy Dumpy. Happy Dumpy creates unique and functional gifts all based on Malaysian cuisine. And before the break, we talked a little bit about the catalyst and the origin for Happy Dumpy, as well as the process of starting the business in the first place. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the materials that you use to create your products as well. As far as I'm aware, you primarily use polyester for the bags that you create, and then you've also expanded into creating some other products. You also have some soaps and stuff like that. Tell me a little bit about the process of acquiring those raw materials and why you chose those specific raw materials as well.
Okay, in terms of materials, there are different types of materials that we use. That includes polyester, PU leather, and also linen. And after experimenting all the fabrics, I think from the perspective of tourists that will bring this back to their country. And one of the very important points that polyester is that it's wrinkle resistant. So normally they will ask me, will it occupy a big space for me to take it back to my homeland? And I say, certainly not. You can fold it and it doesn't occupy much space. So they say, wow, that's really convenient for them. Because they don't want something that is bulky, that can't travel through time.
Right.
And this is very light. And it's wrinkle resistant, so you can fold it.
Right. And it won't
just
impact
it.
Yes. I see the look of the design as well.
Yes.
And so you mentioned that you also experimented with other materials as well. Do you still use those other materials?
Yes. I still mix it with PU leather and also linen. But most of it is that fabric. And also in terms of structure-wise, not only the fabric itself, we also apply a special secret recipe, a substance that make it really rigid and shine. So when you see it, it's really thick. Our fabric is really thick because we have our special substance that hold it rigidly and it won't wrinkle.
I see. All right. Okay. I won't press you too hard on the secret recipe there. So tell me a little bit about the soaps as well that you guys create. What materials do you use for those?
Oh, our soaps are all of natural ingredients. And you can see the color-wise, all are natural ingredients from plant extracts. And we use 85% of pure olive oil.
Lovely. So tell me a little bit about where you source your raw materials from. For example, do you bulk buy the raw materials of the polyester, the leather, all that from a specific supplier? You know, tell me about that process.
Oh, yes, I buy in bulk from a local supplier. So because it's a local product, Malaysian gifts and souvenirs. So I try to empower the Malaysian society in getting the materials from local suppliers, raw materials. Yeah.
And does that go for all the raw materials that you use, including the natural ones for the soaps and stuff as well?
Yes, olive oil, palm oil, and different kinds of essential oils, plant extracts, all,
So I think one of the concerns as well for a lot of businesses, or, you know, for people at large, is the supply chain. It's having a lot of issues, especially due to the pandemic as well recently, right? I mean, how does that impact you, if it does? Has that at all impacted the way that you source any of these raw materials or even your packaging materials at all?
Yes, the materials price is increasing rapidly. So if we are trying to keep the price, but for certain products, we have to increase because due to the increase of raw materials and ingredients, it really affects us.
Yeah.
But so, we really try to keep the original price. So for some products, we still keep, but for some, we need to.
Yeah, you need to increase the price point. I mean, fact of the matter is you need to protect your bottom line, right, at the end of all of it. So that's just the reality of the situation. And also, I'm curious to know how you justify the price points of your products as well, considering that your products are fairly unique, right? It's very difficult. I guess you could compare them to a typical souvenir kind of market. But I mean, tell me a little bit about that, how you have calculated the price points for your products.
Okay. Regarding the price point of our products, we make it as affordable as possible for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you say affordable, do you mind sharing exactly what that means? What's the rough range here?
Our products starts from 15 ringgit to around 80-something, 90-something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's very affordable. And when they see our products, they can know that it's really original and authentic. They really appreciate it.
I mean, I think, look, there's a certain value that comes with the storytelling element of it as well, right?
Yes.
And also the fact that you've made these products fairly durable and travel friendly. That's a huge, unique selling point for you guys as well, right? So definitely, you know, that's something to think about when you are looking for products like this and taking that price into account. Now, I do want to talk to you a little bit about your experience as an entrepreneur, especially throughout the time. You started operating in roughly 2018. And obviously, a massive thing happened after that, which was 2020 and the pandemic.
Yes, yeah.
And as I understand it, your initial presence was in person. It was, as you mentioned earlier, in bazaars primarily to show off the designs in person.
Yes.
And then you had to kind of throw that all the way and shift to e-commerce during the pandemic. Yes. Tell me a bit about that transition and how you handled that.
Okay. So we usually showcase our products in bazaars, all that. And people get to know through our bazaars. And from that PKP onwards, we need to shift it to online, to social medias. But I'm glad that during the PKP time, right, people thought of like sending gifts because they can't meet each other. So through our design products, they send a very, very adorable and heartwarming wish to their friends and families through our gifts and souvenirs. Like they will write like, just hold on, this nasi lemak, your favorite nasi lemak, we will have it one day after the PKP.
That's very sweet.
And this is your favorite dumpling, a surprise gift for you. Hope that you feel all right.
So there's an element there of kind of heartwarming.
Yes,
you know,
heartwarming memory.
Yeah, you know, I think especially throughout the pandemic when we were separated, as you mentioned, from a lot of our loved ones, our friends and family.
Yes.
That was something that a lot of people did. I know for a fact that I sent, well, not gifts exactly, but I sent a lot of people food.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's a very tangential, you know, related thing of selling the sending the food-related items to other people just to be like, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yes. And
I think that's really
lovely. I'm also very happy to see them, like how they care for their friends and family. And I was so happy to actually write them messages and, wow, you have a great friend.
That's really lovely. And I think that sort of emotional tie is really what makes your brand really unique as well, that emotional tie and that storytelling tie as well. And now that we are sort of moving out a little bit into a more endemic approach, you are moving back into the bazaar space. You, I believe, were involved recently with the Georgetown Festival.
Yes.
So tell me about what that is like as well, now that you are able to go back into a real life experience with your products.
Oh yeah. So we are honored that Isetan approached us to bring in our design products to Isetan. So we've been showcasing our design products in Isetan from 10th of June, and we are really looking forward to you to come to our design collection.
That's really great. I think that's really exciting that, you know, you've gone through this period where you were forced sort of into the e-commerce space and you're coming back into that brick and mortar presence and also collaborating with a massive brand. I mean, that's fantastic. Now, final question for you, Jocelyn. What are your plans for the future of Happy Dumpy?
Oh, there are lots of plans in mind. And we've received quite a number of people asking us to buy in bulks and as corporate gifts and as collaboration, like design capsule, design collection. They really, really love our design collection. And I will have a physical store in the near future in KL and maybe also in Penang. And our store in Isetan is our milestone to move further, following by the showcase in Muji.
Lovely. That is so fantastic to hear. And I look forward to seeing Happy Dumpy products in person. So thank you very much, Jaslyn, for joining me on the show today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Christine.
You've been listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. I've been speaking to Jaslyn Oishiyun, co-founder of Happy Dumpy. If you've missed any of today's conversation, of course, you can go ahead and download our app. The app is available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can also head over to bfm.my to listen to and download the podcast. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.